On Twitter this morning, President Trump congratulated the two Republican Senate candidates he backed who won primaries in Pennsylvania and Nebraska last night. And Democrats also found something to cheer about from that election in Pennsylvania, which right now has an all-male congressional delegation. At least seven women candidates won their primaries, and three of them stand a pretty good chance of winning seats for the Democrats in November.
And in Washington today, CIA Director nominee Gina Haspel won a key confirmation vote in committee with the help of a Democrat. Our political strategists join us, Paris Denard, Republican strategist and member of a Trump Advisory Commission. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And what's your take on the primaries yesterday? Do they say anything to you, Jamal, about the direction of the party heading into the midterms this fall?
Well, I take I think it was a good day for Democrats. We've got, as you said, there are seven women who won some of those Democratic primaries. I think the energy behind women candidates is especially strong. We've seen it from the week after, or day after the president's inauguration. We also have a candidate who beat the Democratic Party establishment, which I think is also good and healthy, because last thing you want are a bunch of people sitting around Washington and picking candidates out in the rest of the country. And I'm glad the country speaks up and says, no, we want somebody who we think is going to best represent us. That's
but
very healthy.
The candidates, for the most part, are more liberal, right? The liberals did well, better than the moderates last night.
Well, you know, I think that we're in an era where people have been pushed into their corners, the candidates that are going to do the best are the ones that can activate their base, get their base motivated to get out, and then have an appeal that reaches across to the middle a little bit. But let's not start at the middle and then try to sell to the base. Let's start at the base and then sell to the middle.
Paris, what about you? How are Republicans feeling today? Several Trump supporters did win, but not all of them. Congressman Raul Labrador, an immigration hardliner, lost his gubernatorial primary in Idaho.
That's right. I think that we have to look at bright spots like Pennsylvania. I think when you look at the fact that the GOP there saw, I think it was like 200,000 or 82% turnout increase compared to primary voters in 2014, and then the Democrats seeing turnout decrease by 8% compared to 2014. That tells us that Republicans are motivated, excited, and wanting to come out and support and vote for our candidates. And we have some good candidates, especially in Pennsylvania. And I think that these progressive Democrats, these more liberal Democrats, are going to have a difficult time building and drawing a more broad coalition. What they're going to need to do in November to get those independent-minded voters, those voters who are looking to the Trump agenda and say, you know what, there's some things I may not like that he says, but my goodness, when it looks at the economy and what he's doing in international front and related to North Korea, I think we're on the right track, because the majority of Americans feel that we're on the right track about certain things. So I think that, you know, they're going to have a problem there. But from the Republican side, especially looking at Pennsylvania, energy is up and voter participation, GOTV is up, and that's a good thing.
Jamal, do you agree that Republicans have more energy in Pennsylvania than the Democrats do?
Yet to be seen. Here's what I think. Sometimes we like to couch all these campaigns in sort of left-right paradigm. And I did it a little bit in my earlier comment. But sometimes these aren't left-right fights. Sometimes these are up-down fights, right? Sometimes it's about the people who are out trying to fight the people who are in. And I think Trump was very good when he ran with putting himself on the side of the people who felt left out in America. And I think Democrats have finding their voice to get on that same side. And we're going to make some arguments about not just these causes like, you know, Me Too and Black Lives Matter and immigration, but also about economic aspiration and helping people get better jobs and make more money, which is what most people in the country want.
Well, some Democrats took part yesterday in an audition of sorts for 2020 at the Center for American Progress Ideas Conference. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren had a strong anti-Trump message. The former Obama Housing Secretary, Julian Castro, was there. Here's what he told C-SPAN this week about a presidential run.
I haven't made a decision yet, but I'm going to do that before the end of the year.
What compelled you to at least think about it?
What we can see here in Washington, D.C. is a vacuum of leadership. This president is taking the country in the wrong direction. And I have always had a positive vision for the future of my community and of the country. And that's why I'm thinking about it.
Paris, let me start with you. And you have to be totally honest with me. Are you worried about any Democrats that could face President Trump in 2020 at this point? Or who are you most worried about?
I'm not worried about anybody right now,
really?
Because I think that they have so many people who are trying to vie for the nomination of Castro, Warner, Biden, Harris, you know, I mean, and it goes on and on. I mean, so I think that the Democrats need to coalesce around somebody who they think can really challenge this Make America Great agenda and the positive direction that we're taking this country, both domestically and internationally. So I think that whomever they pick is going to have to be someone who is strong enough to go against this president's agenda, which has been very positive for putting America first.
Jamal, is that right? I mean, it is very early in the process, but we are starting to see some of these names come out, Democrats jockeying for position. I mean, what are you making of all that?
Oh, I think we have an embarrassment of riches on the Democratic side.
And does that hurt you?
No, because we're going to have a big, ugly, messy primary fight, and we're going to hash it all out, and we're going to figure out, you know, what kind of candidate we want. We've got these great people. Castro may run, Elizabeth Warren, Harris, Booker. But then we've got these mayors who are out there, like Garcetti from L.A. and Mitch Landrieu from New Orleans, who are really doing some very interesting things. They're not all going to be – I would probably bet that the candidate from the Democratic Party is not somebody who currently has a job in Washington, D.C.
Well, I think a long, bloody, you know, embarrassing Democrat fight
on,
for the
right?
left is very good for President Trump as he continues to raise money, the RNC gets the infrastructure growing. I think that's going to be great.
Okay, Paris, it's
been
a week.
Well, you know, hold on 1 second. There, yeah. I've heard also that Trump may get a primary challenge, and you may see President Trump have to fight off a Ben Sasse or the governor of Ohio who may also run.
If he fought off 16, he can handle those two.
One-on-one, I don't know.
So we have plenty of time to talk about 2020, but in the present right
it's
now.
It's so much fun, though. It's so much fun.
No, let's move on, please.
It has been a week, Paris, since a White House aide made disparaging remarks about John McCain, the senator who's seriously ill right now. This morning, the White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said the leakers of the story should be fired, not the employee who made them. Do you defend Trump's handling of this? Many people have said that this is sort of a message coming down from the top. Trump has made remarks about McCain, and so the employees feel like they can too.
No, look, I know Kelly Sattler personally. I know the McCain family very well and have known them for decades personally. Look, I think Kelly Sattler made an inarticulate, insensitive, flippant comment in a private meeting talking about communication strategy relating to our CIA director, the nominee. And she called Meghan McCain and other people in the family, close to the family, and apologized immediately, which is the thing that she should have done.
But not
and
publicly.
She did that.
She called just Meghan McCain and apologized.
Right. And I listen, that's the right thing to do. If somebody offends you, you call them, pick up the phone and apologize to them directly. And so this has nothing to do. We're trying to make this into something bigger than the president or the White House. The right thing was done. She apologized directly to the family, to other sources. Case closed. But the issue about these leakers is one that is significant because it has plagued a portion of this White House. And it is really causing a chilling effect. It's wrong and it's embarrassing.
I want to ask you about that. I mean, what is really wrong with a leak like this? Anyways, we live in the United States, where we cherish sunshine on our government. This is not a classified secret. It sheds some light on things that are happening within the White House. That seems fair game to me and probably a lot of other Americans.
Sure. If you're a staffer sitting in a meeting and somebody and you work tirelessly every day, all day, 24/7, and you hear something that you think that is inappropriate, especially about Senator John McCain, then you come to that person and say, you know what, I don't think that was right. I don't think that was done. You don't go and try to embarrass that person or get that person fired by leaking it to the press. And I think what you see is when people are leaking, the types of leaks that are happening out of some of these offices in the White House are done to undermine the president, do personal vendettas or agendas, or embarrass the president. And it's not right. And if you want to leak something that's positive, this person's happening, this policy proposal is coming out, that's great. But to do it to undermine is just wrong. And if you don't like the president, you don't like the agenda, self-select and get yourself out of there, or they should be fired.
Jamal, as Paris said there, this was all about the CIA director nominee, Gina Haspel, and the fact that McCain was against her nomination. Today, Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, a Democrat, voted for her in committee. What's that about? There are several Democrats who say that they are going to vote for her.
Well, I think there are lots of people who think that she has acquitted herself very well since the time that she was in charge of the torture program. You know, John McCain disagrees and he thinks the torture is wrong and didn't want to. But, you know, other Democrats and Republicans have a right to find the things that they are important. A lot of people are also worried about who else President Trump might appoint. But, you know, like, let's just to go back to the previous statement. These are not, in normal times, I would agree with Paris 100%. A president and a government official should be able to have conversations inside their office without having them being leaked. But these are not normal times. President Trump don't say sorry. And even when he does things like stand up and equivocate over Nazi sympathizers and alt-right sympathizers, I think people inside that government ought to come forward and say what they think all the time. Let's undermine this president and try to shut this thing down. It's not normal.
Well, the problem is if a Democrat happens to win in you know, 10 years or 20 years and gets into the White House, well, let's replay that clip and let's see how he feels about undermining an administration. This is about the presidency, and this is about something bigger than just one individual.
Well,
and the person who allegedly said something that was offensive apologized, and it's case closed. Kelly Sadler apologized, period.
Well, Donald Trump should treat the presidency with more respect and more honor than he does. He lies all the time. He doesn't have any desire to hold the presidency to the honor that it has had in the past.
Guys, this is a good debate, but I think this is probably a good spot to cut it off. That was Jamal Simmons, a Democratic strategist, and Paris Dinard, the Republican. Thanks to you both, guys.